In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On this day of the Feast of Pentecost, the people of the Jews were gathered together to celebrate the giving of the law, and the Holy Spirit came in great drama and wind and noise and commotion. I like to say it's very clear that the Episcopal Church can only be a small branch of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, because if we were the original church, it wouldn't have been new wine, they suspected, if it would have been well-aged whiskey. And while the Holy Spirit does sometimes come with great power and fanfare and that punch that we hear of on that day of Pentecost, and that is, as we say, this is the celebration of the birthday of the church. I think very much more often he comes to us quietly and seeps in and nudges us, moves us in ways that we're not always aware of as he does it. But I wanted to stop and think this week and this morning about what it is the Holy Spirit does when the Holy Spirit comes to be present with us in a conscious way. Jesus told his disciples before he ascends to the Father to wait in Jerusalem and until the power from on high comes upon you. And we hear in the gospel reading today that it will be the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will remind you of what I have said, what Jesus said. And they wait in Jerusalem. They're expecting something from heaven. And Jesus says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you another comforter, an advocate. And so we have this picture of this in-between time from the ascension until today, of expectant waiting, of prayer, of obedience, and Jesus asking on our behalf. And so we begin life in the Spirit by expecting the coming of the Spirit. Jesus wants us to be in expectation. He doesn't want us to enter into our time of prayer thinking, yeah, I'm going to say it, but God's not listening. He doesn't want us to enter a time of petition saying, God, be with so-and-so in their time of distress. Be with me in my challenges. Lead me not into temptation. Yeah, but he's not going to help anyway. No, we're supposed to pray with expectation. And so the life in the Spirit begins with obedience and expectation and waiting, as it did for the disciples for these 9 days. So it does for us. Then when the Holy Spirit is given, we don't usually have those manifestations of speaking in tongues or speaking and raising the dead to life. Most of our manifestation is going to be summed up in what St. Paul tells us today. When we have the Holy Spirit of God, we are able to cry out to the eternal Father and say, Abba. Remembering that when he uses the word Abba, it's not Father, it's Daddy. That when the Holy Spirit in me tells me that I can cry out to the eternal God, and if I need to, I can crawl up on his lap and get a hug from the eternal God and call him Daddy. It's the Holy Spirit telling me who I really am. It's my identity. That's the first thing the Holy Spirit gives to us, is identity, that we, every one of us, are indeed a beloved, adored child of God. That makes a difference. That's our identity. So we begin by expecting and praying and obeying, waiting for the coming of this thing. And the first thing he tells us is who we really are. Without someone to tell me, I don't know who I am. I can put value on myself. But we all know that, you know, the self-made man is usually a product of poor workmanship. I need God to make me. I need God to tell me who I am and what I ought to be and that he loves me. And the Holy Spirit's first gift is a gift of identity. And then when I know who I am and what family I belong to, Our next gift from the Holy Spirit is, in fact, those things which are common to every child of God. The Holy Scriptures were given to us. Exercise in them, knowing of them, reading them, sometimes studying them. But we have a problem that when we study things, we feel superior to the thing we're studying. Sometimes we should just read it back to God and let it have the effect God wants it to have. We are all given this community to be part of, to encourage one another, to sing with one another, to have a shoulder to cry on and a shoulder to let someone else cry on, someone else to celebrate things, events in life with, and to mourn with when there's something to mourn. And we know that every one of us is the image of God. And so that community is part of the common life of every Christian. The Scripture is for everyone. The community is for everyone, and the sacramental worship is for everyone. And we need to enter into those things which are for every Christian. Once we know our identity, we do that which is common. Every child comes to the table. Every child has the Word of God. Every child is included in the community. Every child of God is asked to develop and stir up in themselves and receive from the Holy Spirit what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, all of those things that Paul tells us about. Realizing that there isn't any Christian that is exempt from love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness. Those are common. Just like the sacraments and the Scripture and the community are common, so are the fruit of the Spirit. Those are for everyone to receive from God and exhibit to one another. Common life. Who am I? The Holy Spirit says, you're a child of God. What does it mean to be a child of God? What do I participate in as a child of God? Well, what do I participate in as a child in my family? Well, we all knew what that entailed. And now, as Christians, as part of the family of God, it entails these gifts, these commonalities that we share. As we come further and further into community, we realize, though, that not only does God give us common gifts, he gives unique gifts to his children. That the gifts of the Spirit operate in each of us individually as the Spirit intends. And in a couple different places in the New Testament, we find lists and descriptions of how those gifts are exercised. Some are given as apostles, some as evangelists, some as teachers. Some are given the gift of liberality and giving and generosity. Some are given gifts of administration and leadership. Some are given gifts of intercession. Some are given gifts of deep spiritual knowledge. Some are given gifts of discernment. And they don't all reside in any one of us. So while the last set of things are common to the life of every Christian, the gifts of the Spirit are given to us individually for the building up of the body, for the revealing of the will of God, for the living of the life of God in this world. But before we can get to those things that are unique, we have to be exercising in those things that are common. Before I can understand that I have access and enjoyment, all of those things that are common to a child of God, I have to hear the voice of the Spirit telling me I'm a child of God. Call God Daddy if you need to. And he asks us to ask for it. And so, not systematically, but periodically, the Holy Spirit will give you new knowledge. Not contradictory. I'm not talking about coming up with new scriptures. I'm saying that he will make you and us aware of the depth of identity. He will make you and me and us aware of the saturating nature of the fruit of the Spirit. How deep ought love go? In the face of what can the peace of God triumph? And then the one we like worst, how patient can you be? And then he raises up ministers, giving the gifts of the Spirit as he sees fit for the good of the body and the revealing of the intention of God in the world. And he tells us that there's more to come. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what I have said, always bringing something back to mind. He He says in another place that there are things I have to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal them to you. So we know that this is an ongoing process. And if it's an ongoing process of life in the Spirit, who's going to remind us of what Jesus said and give to us those things which we cannot yet bear, that means there's a tomorrow. That means there's more to come. That means we're back to expectation. Not right where we started, because expectation at the beginning is back there at the font. And in baptism, we're given the Holy Spirit, and we are marked as a child of God, and then we move through, and we grow in those things, again, which are common to our life. Scriptures, sacrament, community, the fruit of the Spirit. And then he calls us to individual ministries, whatever they may be, and we exercise them with joy, not being fussy that I didn't get the same ones you got, or you didn't get the same ones he got, or whatever, because that's up to the Spirit. And those things serve to reveal to us the image of God in us and what Christ wants to do in this community in this day. And he's going to keep teaching us, and he's going to keep drawing us in. Finally, going back to the passage where the Spirit says, you may call God Abba, Father, Daddy, he also teaches us that we are joint heirs with Christ. That's what's to come. And what is Christ to inherit but the throne of the eternal God? At some point, we are going to sit there with him in the very heart of God. We have expectation as we come from outside of the church into the church by baptism and the giving of the Holy Spirit in expectation. But we also have an expectation we come to this point in the church. And that is, no matter how long you've been in the church, how many times you've heard the gospel, we're always going to reach into heaven one more time to receive that sacrament from the altar, to receive the life of Jesus himself. There's an expectation that today there's a gift. And when we gather next time, there will be a gift. And next time, there's always one more. Because the eternal God, no matter how long we live in the heavens, the eternal God will always be a deeper depth for us to dive into. We begin in expectation by prayer and obedience, and in parallel with that, Jesus says, expect the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit, and you will know whose child you are. And in knowing whose child you are, you will know the privileges you have as a child, that you will be changed and transfigured into a person of faith and love and hope. And I will encourage that life, that common life, by community, by scripture, by sacrament. And then I will choose you for a work. You don't know what that will be, but it will be something that the body needs. Something that the church needs to fulfill its image of Christ in the world. And in doing so, I will teach you where you ought to be and what you ought to be doing. And there will always be something new. There will always be something further. There will always be something to pursue. We always have that, I'm on this side of the border and there's one more step to take deeper into God. Expectation is the life of faith. A lived out, active hope is the life of the Spirit of God. And lest we think that that will end, I'd finish by mentioning the probably the best Anglican apologist there's been, you all know his name, C.S. Lewis, who, even when the children of Narnia go into the heavens at the very end of the story, they meet the Christ figure, Aslan, and they chase him, and he stops, and they almost catch him. And he looks back over his shoulder and he says, children, further up and further in. And he takes off again and they chase him forever and ever. That is the life of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit gift is that we celebrate on the day of Pentecost. The life of faith, the life of the living hope, further up and further in. Amen.